Oh, such a good question.
Well, when you come up with these questions, that's another great branding question.
That's a big question.
That's a very interesting question because it really makes you think about what you just did.
Welcome to the Your Living Brand.Life show. This show is all about how you communicate your value, how you build influence through trust, and recognizing who your audience is and who they are not. Through our weekly conversations with our guests, we will explore different ways to enable you to demonstrate your uniqueness while we ask them, what's your story? And now, welcome our host, Ben Baker.
Welcome back to another episode of the Your Living Brand.Live show. It's Ben Baker coming to you, and thank you for being part of my wonderful audience. Thank you for all your questions. Thank you guys for subscribing. We're on Spotify, iHeart, iTunes, pretty much anywhere you can think of. So however you listen to us, you know, sit there and subscribe. Leave me a message. You know, tell me what you like about the show. Tell me some guests that you'd love to have on. I read it all, and I'd love to, you know, find out what you guys are thinking about. So thank you for being such an incredible audience. This week, I'm going back to my roots. I'm going back to Israel. I have Kobi coming to me from Israel. He is the CEO. Kobi Bendelak is the CEO of InsurTech Israel out of Tel Aviv. And Kobi, it is a pleasure having you on the show today.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Ben. It's my pleasure too.
You know, most people don't know, it says I lived in Israel for 3 years. You're in Tel Aviv. I actually lived in Jerusalem for 3 years in the 90s and the early 2000s. And the technology world, what it was then versus what it is today, is an incredible change. I mean, Israel has always been at the forefront of the technology industry. And I'm sure, you know, that is what's really driven InsurTech. But, you know, why don't you tell me about InsurTech Israel, who you are, what you do, and, you know, who you serve. Tell me a little story, Kobi.
Okay, it's my pleasure. So first of all, I will speak a little bit about myself. I came from the insurance industry. I've been there for 22 years. After I finished my army service, I started to be a broker. I opened my company. It was 24 years ago. And I had a very big luck because after a 6 year of operation, I got a quote from Generali Group to be partners and to buy 50% for my shares. So since 2001 until 2015, my broker company was part of Generali Group. It was really amazing opportunity to grow and to be part of the ecosystem here in Israel. My company was one of the biggest MGA in Israel. In 2015, one day I got a quote.
What's an MGA?
It was something in between insurance company and agency.
Gotcha. Okay.
We got qualified to give cover and to handle claims for insurance policies from the underwriting of and for the insurance company. So in 2015, someday in the morning, I got a call from a competitor and he asked me if I want to sell my company to him. It was came from nowhere. Yes, it was really amazing. It was very hard for me, Ben, to decide to do that because this company was part of my life. It was 22 years operation, but the quote was too good to say yes. So I said yes. I said yes. And in 2016, I quit all my operation in the insurance industry and I went to retire. 45 years old, retired. As you can imagine, it's very boring.
Yeah, we're going to work all day, every day, and everything that you do, and then all of a sudden going from 100 miles an hour to zero, I don't think that would go over very well.
Yes, yes. It was very boring after 3 months of doing nothing. I looked for a new challenge, and suddenly someday I got, in the subject, it was written, InsurTech Meetup in Tel Aviv. So I didn't know what is InsurTech and what is Meetup. I was a broker, but it looked interesting for me. A meetup is meet people. So I decided to go. As you can imagine, I had plenty of time. So I went there and I saw many people in the venue. That was a lot of interesting ideas, a lot of spirit to how to change the world of insurance. Good ideas and very interesting technology. But most of the people in the venue didn't know exactly what is insurance. And I saw that for me as an opportunity because I have money to invest. I wanted to invest money in startups. And in the other end, I have a lot of knowledge for my background, connection, understanding how this industry working. So after I did some scouting around, I decided to start invest. I collect 11 partners for my company and we start investing in the startups. So we already invested in Shutech startups. Very amazing. Most of them are very famous. So we're really proud of what we are doing in our investment. In the other end, parallel to that activity, I got a really interesting approach for many people around the globe. Most of them are entrepreneurs and VCs and companies or insurance companies from all over the world to start asking me if I can help them to understand this industry or this amazing thing that's called InsurTech. And they wanted me to help them to understand how can I help them to go to market, to test the product, things that I have from my knowledge, from my background. As you remember, I had plenty of times. I drank a lot of cup of coffee with many interesting people from all over the world. And after a while, I understand that I have something in my hand because people want to speak and to hear me. So that's the reason I decided to open another arm in my company. It's called a consulting arm. So parallel to our activity, investment activity, now we have, since the last year, a consulting activity. Do we help entrepreneurs and startups with all the necessary things that they need to go to the market? And for startups that are not playing or operating in the insurance world and wants to go into this interesting insurtech side, we help them to understand how to do that. Corporate from all over the world that are very deep interest in what's going on here in the insurtech ecosystem in Israel, call us and use our connection and knowledge here to have official appearance here. So, and VCs and many, many others, delegations that are arriving here. So it's a very interesting issues now in Israel. So InsurTech Israel is a company that have two arms. One is the investment and one is consulting. So really, really very active now in Israel.
My thought is, and I want to go back because it's really important for people to know, and this is critical, of why Israel is such a technological giant, why it's such an entrepreneurial giant. What's the culture? What is the culture that you think that drives that? Because it really fights above its weight. If you look at the amount of technology companies that are in Israel, you look at the amount of innovation that happens in Israel, the other thing, it really comes down to a lot of the culture. So what do you think that drives that culture that allows people to innovate faster, better, and more diversely in Israel than a lot of other countries that are way bigger with much larger budgets?
It's not the culture, it's the air here. We are the whole.
It's too hot.
No, we are the Holy Land. So, no, actually, you're right, it's the culture. I think it's based on many things, it's not just one thing. Many entrepreneurs that are active here in Israel, not just in the InsurTech sides, and you can see that most of them came from the army. You know, the Israeli army is a very technology army. There's a special unit that use the technology. So many entrepreneurs are coming with ideas that are arriving from the army. They can really operate easy in Israel because the ecosystem here is really support. We get the support from the government. We get support from, there is a many capital here in Israel. There's a lot of money that looking for investments in here in Israel. So it's really interesting. So this is the culture. You can base it on education. Here, the universities here in Israel is very, very interesting. You know, the Hebrew University is one of the most advanced university in the world. So the education here from the beginning, you know, there is a joke in Israel saying that the Jewish mom in the past wanted her son to be a lawyer or doctor. So now she's looking that her son or daughter will be an entrepreneur. This is a culture.
That's a big change.
In the end, we are living in a very tough neighborhood. So it's make us very independent and we know that we need to stand our own. So this is what make this culture very successful.
Well, it's interesting that you bring up the whole army and the university cultures because there's the story that I remember and I can't remember when it was. I think it was the F-16 fighter jets. When you guys first got them, you guys were worried about being able to see behind you. And instead of creating some big technological advancement, to be able to look behind you, you guys put in rear view mirrors from old Buicks. Yeah. So it's a culture of practicality. It's a culture of what's the problem? How do we fix it?
Yes, I think you're right.
That's an amazing thing of the Israeli culture. It will come. It's what's the problem and how do we fix it?
Yes, I think you're right, Ben, because many people ask me why, how is the insurtech industry here in Israel is very active, and Free Unicorn insurtech startup in Israel. There's a Lemonade Next Insurance in Hippo. There's no other place in the world, maybe in US, that there's so many insurtech unicorn in one country.
Yeah.
So people ask me why and how it's happened. I say that because insurtech is not just technology. Insurtech is the creative ideas. People see that the entrepreneurs see a problem and they have creative ideas how to solve this problem. They add technology to the solution. But insurtech is not just technology. It's not science fiction. It's a creative ideas to solve a real problem. And this means that the Israelis are very unique people. They know how to solve problems. We are really independent and we know how to solve problems. If we see a problem, we can, most of the time, we will build a solution to fix it. So in that reason, the insurtech industry in Israel is very successful because we know how to solve problems and we added technology for that. And this is what it make it happen.
And it's amazing when you sit there and you think about it, because I joked offline with you a few days ago because we were talking about the fact that you had, what, two companies that became unicorns? It was Hippo and one other corporation that have already unicorn status?
Lemonade and Next Insurance.
There we go. And three. So that's right. So you have three now. But it's amazing the technological shift that's allowed that to happen in Israel. It's also having the technology and having the ability to have so many people in one country that are focused on technology. Because when I last lived in Israel, and it was 1995, I think was the last time I lived in Israel, you had to go to the street corner. You had to buy these little tokens that only fit in the payphones. It was the most archaic system in the world. So you carried around these little tokens that you couldn't use for anything other than the phone system. Today, every Israeli, probably over the age of 8 years old, has their own cell phone. That you guys have Wi-Fi through the entire country. And you have these technology corridors that the rest of the world is investing, as you said, hundreds of millions and billions to build operations in Israel to be able to be at the forefront of the next generation of technology. So it's the combination of that entrepreneurial spirit and the technology, you know, innovation and the investment in technology and the investment in the hardware and software and the people around it that have probably allowed the insurtech culture to flourish. So my question is, what are the biggest changes you've seen over, say, the last 5 or 10 years that have really allowed the insurtech world to thrive, not only within Israel, but throughout the world?
I think it's because the world, the users, wants to get something different. They get to use and buy other services easier, and they want to have it on the insurance side. This is what push all this industry forward, because the users, consumers, wants to use insurance in the other ways. And it's a really orthodox industry with a lot of barrier and aims and a lot of challenge. And entrepreneurs, investors are looking for this kind of industry. And this kind of industry have one more thing that make it really attractive, because there is a lot of money there. The insurance industry is a finance industry. It's a very important industry in the world. So there's a lot of money, a lot of needs, a lot of gap to go over. This is the good field for technology to rise. You can see that even not in Israel. You can see that in other continents like Africa. I've been in Nigeria a few weeks ago and I saw that, because they are using now the electronic wallet, they can jump over age in 1 or 2 years. So the technology support this industry and make it very, very hot now.
So do you find that the best innovations come with collaboration within the insurance industry or outside the insurance industry, when you bring innovations to bear that are completely outside the insurance industry and use that innovation and that thought process to make insurance better? Or are people really focused totally inside the industry and not really looking at how other developments are making them better?
Disruption cannot be in one day. It's a huge market. It's a huge industry. The disruption cannot be in one day.
Right.
So right now, what we can see in the insurtech side, that most of the insurance companies start to be digitized. They're using the digitization to go forward. They open build a website, and develop applications. They start connected with the consumer by digitized application, any kind of application. But in the end, this is just the beginning of the story, because this industry will disrupt from side to side. I can see the starter right now, because we will see in the coming year a new move into the insurance industry for players that never been in the insurance side. You can see it right now a little bit in the current insurance industry. The Tesla and Volvo and BMW are start selling insurance for their clients.
Right.
So you can see that they are doing that now with insurance carrier. All right, it's okay because we don't have the knowledge how to do that. But in the end, they have enough capital to do it by their own. So in 1, 2, 3 years from now, they will do it by their own. So you can see a lot of interest from big corporates in the world about the insurance side, like from Facebook and from Amazon and from Media and from Google. So I can see a big maneuver into the insurance side, insurance industry, from corporates that never been there before. This is one thing that I'm seeing in the near future. One more change that we will see, that the reinsurer will start operate direct to direct consumer. You might ask yourself why the reinsurer is very active in the insurtech industry. Why they need to do change in their money machine? They have money machine. Why do they need to move it or to change it? If the reason that they are going to change it or they want to change it is because they want to cut the middlemen, the insurance companies and the brokers. Today, they cannot do that because they don't have any distribution channels and services channels, but technology will help them to do that. So what we will see in the coming years, that the reinsurer will start acting like insurer. This is the second change that we will see. The other change that we will see, that parallel to a path, we'll see another path of insurtechs that start to be insurance companies like Lemonade and many else. So parallel to the old industry of the insurance company and agent and broker, we will see a new kind of players, and the technology will support that. And this is the reason that this, the insurtech areas, is really, really hot today, because it supports these changes for the coming years.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. The YourBrandMarketing.live podcast is sponsored by How to Retain Employees Through Leadership online course. Go to courses.yourbrandmarketing.com. That's courses.yourbrandmarketing.com, and put in Your Living Brand 50 for a $50 coupon. Thanks a lot. Welcome back to the YourLivingBrand.live show. So do you see these changes coming about through joint ventures, or do you think there's going to be a complete mind shift of change where just people outside the industry, yeah, as you said, the BMWs, the Volvos, the Teslas, etc., are going to sit there and say, you know what, we're just going to take over the car insurance industry. We're going to do it ourselves. We're going to totally take over that industry, because when you buy a car by a 60-month lease or 48-month lease, it's going to come with the insurance already built into it, into the price. Do you think that we're looking at that kind of shift, or is it going to be a joint venture between the insurance industry and the car industry that allows for that to happen?
Maybe. Maybe we'll say that for many ways, but insurance is very profitable. In the end, they are making a lot of money. Because of that, I can see that the car manufacturer will be part of that. So in the end, I think they will do it by their own. They need to have more skills to do that, a lot of knowledge, experience. But in the end, they will have them enough money to do that. And they will do that for sure. They start to do it now. You can see it in other ways. Now, a lot of retail websites start to selling insurance.
Right.
It's a big change.
You have a lot of retailers that sit there and say, fine, you buy a computer, we'll give you a 2-year or 3-year maintenance package on it. If anything goes wrong, fine, bring the computer back to us, we'll take care of it.
Yes, it's kind of insurance. So in the end, it's a very big change. It's like an earthquake to the industry. And the insurance company know that. They are doing a lot of efforts not to miss this opportunity. But I think it's too late. The gap is too big. And in the end, I can't see that all the insurance company in the world will be closed. Of course, there's a lot of insurance company that will be operating. There will be many will not be operating anymore. This is the future of the insurance industry, as I said. Many new players are coming, and it will be a very influenced industry for sure.
So what do you see as the main challenges with adoption? I mean, technology is ripe with fear. People are afraid of things that they don't understand. People are afraid of things that are new. People are afraid of what if it doesn't work? What if we invest in something and it messes up our entire system and it, you know, hurts our customers, it bankrupts us. What do you think are the biggest challenges right now for the insurtech industry moving forward?
You meant in your question about the fear of the insurance companies or the old industry, because the insurance company have a lot of freight. I understand that. It's a big mess to change the IT operation system. Cannot see that working. It's a big threat. This is the reason that this industry have a lot of big gaps, because most of the insurance company build their own operation system. There is no such a thing like one or two or three operation system is working in all this industry. Almost any insurance company have their own IT solution. So this is what makes this industry very, very old, with a big gap between the needs and what is going on. So what I can see on that situation is they will find solution. You can find here in Israel one or two company that help them, the insurance company that help them to bridge this gap by making a virtual IT system that can help them to adopt the technology, new technology. It's a pouch on this problem. It's not solve the problem.
It's a patch. It doesn't change the system. It just creates one more layer and one more patch.
Yes.
To a broken system.
Yes, yes, you're right. This is the situation. It's very interesting. This is the reason that this we can find a lot of ideas from all over the world. Most of them are not going to be part of the old ecosystem. There's a lot of startups that operate by their own. They operate in MGAs. So they can hold the risk and they can handle the claims and give a service. So in the end, they will be an insurance company by their own. So as I mentioned before, the new big path of the insurtechs that are going to be the new insurance in the world. Last year, or we can say this year, we had a conference in Frankfurt that we've been part of that, and on the stage, three regulator, the EIOPA regulator is the EU insurance regulator, the BaFin, this is the German regulator, and the Israeli regulator, insurance regulator, they on the stage together and spoke about insurtech, and they said by their own, the insurance in the near future is the insurtech. So this is the reason that this industry is running very fast.
But what about the end users? I mean, I understand that there's huge adoption of companies like Hippo and Lemonade and online technology by the end user in the millennial and the Gen Z, the younger generation. But when you come to corporate insurance and people, you know, our age and a little bit older that are still owning the companies that are still doing it, there's probably less and less adoption because of lack of trust and fear. What are the technology companies doing to be able to address that fear and be able to get people on board, the end user on board, to get them to understand what the value is to them and how it's going to make their life better?
Just education. As you see, we are talking now by using Zoom, and and we are not so young.
No, and we couldn't have done that 5 years ago.
Yes. So it's matter of education. My mom used WhatsApp. So in the end, if people like it, enjoy that, or understand that it's add value for them, they will use it. It's not a big challenge. This barrier is not so deep. In the end, people will adopt any new technology. Of course, there is cultures that adopt technology easier, faster, and there is a culture or country that it's new adopter. But in the end, it will happen. It's not so difficult. I don't think that's this barrier is so deep.
So what do you think is the biggest challenge?
The time. This is the biggest challenge, the time.
Time is always a challenge, doesn't matter.
Yes, the entrepreneur need to be patient. We need to understand that this industry is along scales. We need to raise enough money to operate for longer time than they thought. This is the big challenge. It's just time. I think we will speak in 2023. I think the industry will be definitely different from now. So it's time and keep going and keep playing. In the end, it will be that.
And how do you work with your consulting clients and people within the environment to get them to be a little bit more patient, to get them to understand the long-term horizon? Because 2023 to you and me doesn't seem like that far away. To somebody who's 18, 21, 23 years old, It seems like forever.
Yes.
How do you work with these young insurtechs to get them to understand that things don't happen immediately and that there are people have to be patient and there has to be a schedule to work with in terms of timeline?
First of all, I don't need to educate them to understand that they are feeling that by their own. How can I help them to gap on this situation? First of all, with my experience, I'm in Tupano by myself. My company, my first company, I was the founder in InsurTech Israel. In the end, it's like a startup. I'm the founder, so I have a lot of experience. I give to my clients, my entrepreneurs' clients, a lot for my knowledge about how to solve problems. So if we see a problem, if we see a challenge, we sit together and think how we can solve that, how we can solve this challenge or solve this situation by new ideas. This is one side. And the other side, I help them to raise money. And this is a very big challenge and it's not easy to do that. So we are helping them to do that and give them a time to go forward and make them product more advanced. So this is how we help with from our experience and our connection in the world. We help them not just to buy time. We help them to go forward.
So I've got two last questions I want to ask you. And the first question is, what do you think are going to be the big problems that InsurTech is going to solve in the next 5 years?
If I knew that, I would be very yesterday.
Tell me what I'm investing in.
Yes. I think the on-demand insurance is something that there's a lot of needs for that. I believe in the on-demand insurance. I think not today. There's a few problems with the on-demand insurance, but I have the feeling that I'm not saying about in the commercial side, even the commercial side, but in the private insurance, people like to use insurance just when they need it and how they need it and how risky they are. They don't want to pay money for nothing. So I think the on-demand insurance is the hottest topic in the industry today and will be even better, even more in the coming years. So this is the main issue that I'm thinking that the insurtech areas will be operate. The on-demand in any kind of like a drive-by miles or something in the car manufacturer and car insurance, the PNC insurance, even life insurance and health insurance. People want to buy insurance just when they think that they need or when they think that they will need it.
So I can buy $10 million worth of life insurance 20 minutes before I die. I like that.
No, you will not be able to do that. But you will be able to buy life insurance when you get a loans, and it will be end in while your loans will be end. And if you are flying and you want to buy life insurance because your life is now more risky, you will not be need to fill all these long forms to have life insurance. It will be automatically. There is application here in Israel that know how your life is, health assessment, and know how your life is. Just by taking a picture of your face. So this can help you to buy a life insurance easy. Just take a picture. You'll have life insurance. And if you want to end it, you can just click and it's end. So you will not need to go all this old process. So people will buy life insurance on demand and health insurance on demand. It will be different.
Amazing. Kobi, it's been a marvelous conversation. I got one last question and I ask this to everybody. The question is, when you leave a meeting, when you get in your car and you drive away, what's the one thing you want people to think about you and InsurTech Israel when you're not in the room.
Mm-hmm. That I add value in that meeting to the people that participate in the meeting. If I add value, it will be, this is my goal.
Adding value to people is an incredible thing, and you absolutely do it. Kobe, thank you very much. Thank you for being such a wonderful guest.
Thank you.
Have a great evening, and thank you for doing all that you do.
Thank you, Ben.
Take care and talk soon.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
This has been the YourLivingBrand.live show. I want to thank you for tuning in today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show at YourLivingBrand.live and share your favorite episodes with colleagues and friends. At Your Brand Marketing, we help companies engage, retain, and grow their most valuable assets, their employees. If you're tired of losing great staff and want to retain your best employees, build brand champions and leaders at any level. Contact us for a 30-minute consultation at yourbrandmarketing.com. That's www.yourbrandmarketing.com. Thank you again for listening and sharing. Tune in next week when we ask another guest, what's your story?